Good evening. Well, I want to thank the Lord for once again the privilege to be in your midst. And I want to equally thank Pastor Bob, precious wife, and all the elders of the church, and also every one of you. I wanted to say that this church is really has been a comfort to our heart, and I want to be very grateful. I don't know, is there times you feel like people who come to your life, not really because of maybe material things given, but just their presence in your life and their prayer and their encouragement means a lot to you? Have you experienced such type of things? And so you are precious to us. And I also want to bring greetings to you from Bernadette. She's doing fine. Presently, she's going to different regions, trying to mobilize women for the Women Conference, which will be holding in the month of October. We'll be having a conference in different regions where our churches are planted. And so you continue to pray for her. And we thank God for what God is doing in that part of the world. Like Pastor Bob just mentioned, Cameroon have enjoyed relatively peace for some time, but recently there has been some unrest in the country. It's political because the president there has been in power for 26 years. And by 2011, there will be election, and he wants to change the constitution so that he can remain in power. So the people got agitated. And the prices of gas went up, prices of grocery went up, everything. So the people started protesting, and the governor in Douala did not want them to protest. So it resulted into violence. And they clashed with the police. So the government now have to get the military out to quell the violence, and that resulted into so many deaths and shootings and killing. You know, temporarily, everywhere is calmed down, but everyone is waiting for 2011 when the election will come. So keep praying for them. And somehow also, God used the situation to stir up our hearts to, you know, a kind of refocus our attention to Nigeria and try to solidify the work there. So we are trying to see how to, build. We have a structure we want to build so that the church there could, have places where they are meeting, and provide them also with a pastor. You know, we are sending, when I go back, we are sending them one of our pastors that just finished the Bible school, so we'll be sending him there to be pastoring the church there in Nigeria, so that it frees my hands in, coordinating and overseeing the work. So you keep us in prayers. Well, I just want to share with you a few things as I come to the West that I believe the Lord laid in my heart. And one is on deliverance, and the other is on healing. But I'm going to be talking on healing. I'm sure you're familiar a little bit about healing. If you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. By the way, I came with a book. I just wrote a new book on marriage covenant, which Pastor Bob also forwarded the book for me. So I have a couple of books here. So at the end of the meeting, if you want to get one, you can get one of the book. It's on marriage. One of the things that is collapsing in our time now is marriage. It's amazing. It's so much in the church, even than the world. So much marriage breakdown that is happening in the church. And we are praying for the West in this aspect, because when the marriage collapses, the society collapses. Yes. The community collapses. You know. And so we are praying and believing God for this in this end time. Now, when you read Isaiah 53, I read from verse 1 to 5. Who will believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That he shall grow up before him as a branch, and as a root out of a dry ground, he has neither form nor beauty. When we shall see him, there shall be no form that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He is a man full of sorrows and has experience of infirmities. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteem him not. Surely, I want you to mark the word, surely. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And yet we did judge him as plagued and smitten of God and humbled. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was broken for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes are we healed. Amen. We are living in the last days. And I know we are very much aware of that. And in the last days, the Bible says it's going to be a difficult time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says it will be difficult to handle. And we are experiencing that. You know, Jesus talked about the signs of the last days, the wars, the famines, the various, things that is happening, and we're experiencing them, the economic recessions and all that, and then the divorce, the rebellion of teenagers and kids and all that. I was in London, and the statistic is growing of kids carrying knives, and there are so many people who have been stabbed and killed on the street. Well, it is the signs of the last days. And then you come to the church, the love of many growing cold, and many are not finding pleasure in Jesus Christ. And Christians seem to want another entertainment in order to remain focused in the church. It is the signs of the last days. But at the same time, the Bible says in these last days, these things will be happening. It's not all hopelessness. It's not all hopelessness. The Bible also said, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the same last day, simultaneously, he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he says, their sons and daughters will prophesy, will preach the word of God. And he said, the young men will see visions, and the old men will dream dreams. And upon the handmaidens and the servants, he says, I will pour out my spirit. So we see two things happening. We see the increase of demonic activities in the last days. We equally see the outpouring and great manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you read in that Isaiah 53, it began by saying, who will believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That means God wants to reveal his power. And that is in the last days. God wants to reveal his power. In the same time, the enemy is, increasing and multiplying his activities and sickness and disease. Even the ones we have never had before. It's happening now. It's been discovered now. Somewhere in part of Cameroon, there is a new disease that they discovered, the feet growing. They don't have a name for it. Right now, there are some Western doctors that are working there with some local doctors right now trying to examine, and study the sickness. So it is things the Bible says will be happening in the last days. But God says, who will believe our report? To whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? And he says in verse 4 particularly, and verse 5, he says, surely he has borne our infirmities, and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we did judge him as plagued and smitten of God and humbled. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was broken for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I want to say that we cannot improve on what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. There is nothing we can improve on what Christ has done. It is done, it is finished, it is perfect. Jesus himself says, it is finished. When on the cross, he carried our sin. He equally not only carried our sin, but he also carried our pain. He carried our sickness. And he carried our disease. And, you know, in verse 4, I told you to circle that word, surely. Do you believe that God knows everything? Yes. Do you believe that he is the beginning and the end? Yes. That he is the Alpha and the Omega? Yes. He is the first and the last? He is not only omnipresent. You know, we say omnipresent meaning that he is everywhere. But he is more than being everywhere. He is not just everywhere, but he is everywhere in every history. In all generations of time, he has been. Do you understand what I'm saying? And in this place, it says, surely God knows that a time will be like ours where unbelief will grow. And where we'll have in schools, where people are taught that Jesus never carried our sickness. That it is not in the atonement. God will heal you if he wants to heal you. And he will not heal you if he doesn't want. But he says, surely. Did you mark the word surely? Is it in your Bible? I didn't write it. I just discovered it. He says, surely he carried our infirmities. He took our pains. On the cross, when he took our sins, he also took our disease, our sorrow. He tested death for every man, the Bible says. He tested depression for every man. You know, the stress that we are going through, Jesus tested it for us so that we do not carry it. The Bible says, when you read in Romans 5, from verse 12, it says, through one man, you know, sin entered the world, and through sin, death entered the world, and death reigned upon all men. But he says also that through Jesus Christ, justification came. And so we thank God for what Jesus did. I don't know about you, but the Word of God excites me. The Word of God, you know, it excites my spirit. The revelation of God's Word, you know, the Word of God is powerful. What Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary cannot be replaced by anybody. And so the Bible says in verse 5 that he was wounded for our transgression, and the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now I want you to notice something in that Old Testament. Is it not logical that if through one man sin came into this world, and through the sin condemnation came upon all men, and all that brought the consequences of sin, the sickness, the disease, the infirmity, the poverty, the curse, you know, and all these things that are happening in the world, is it not logical that the remedy of sin should also include these things? Is it not logical? Because it's through sin that all this came about. So it's logical that the remedy for sin should equally do what? Include every of these, the consequences of sin. And Jesus carried our pain. Now, when you read Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. Now, look at Matthew try to, you know, justify or confirm what Isaiah prophesied. In Matthew 8, when Jesus healed the sick and cast out devils, they brought, verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Did you notice that? Now, Isaiah was prophesying what Jesus would do, but Matthew was looking backwards to what Christ has done. He said when he healed the sick and cast out devil, it was to fulfill the prophecy that he carried our sickness. He carried our disease. So he not only carried our sins, he also carried our sickness on the cross. Jesus took our depression, our disease, all the pain we are going through, he took them on the cross of Calvary. Did you see that? He took them. And that's why Isaiah asked the question, who has believed our report? That's the question now. It is to him that believed the report that the power of God is made manifest. When you read in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Not in the system, but in God. You know, we believe the system so much. But he said, have faith in who? In God. God is greater than the system. He is the creator of the whole world. He said, have faith in who? In God. And he said, if you will say to this mountain, be removed. Do you believe that Jesus was literally speaking to a mountain? Oh, some people will give you explanations for that. But Jesus said, if you will say to this mountain, whatever is that impossible situation, be removed. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, you will have what you say. So Jesus meant what he said. It may take some time, but it will certainly come to pass. And so Jesus said there, have faith in God. And I come to tell you to put your faith in God. It will take faith in God to survive this time, this season, this period. Do you understand? All that is happening, you know, it helps to sift the church. And those who have true faith in God, and those who are just wishy-washy in the church. And say, have faith in God, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. Nothing shall be impossible unto God. And I want you to note something. When you look in that Old Testament, you will discover that you believe the Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament. You believe the Old Testament, you know, the New Testament is a re-image, is a reality of the Old Testament. So, but when you look at the Old Testament, you will discover that God manifested his power even in the shadows. Now, the Bible tells us when Moses left Egypt, God asked them the same night, each family kill a lamb and put the blood on the lintel. Okay? And you eat it quickly, you are living the following day. And the Bible says when they left, Psalm 105, it says when they left, verse 37, when they left, the Bible says he gave them favor, they left with silver and gold, and there was no one of them that was sick. Can you imagine up to 1 to 3 million people leaving the place? Children, youths, women. And all of them living, the pregnant women, and they were living, and the Bible said there was no one single of them sick. Have God changed? I'm asking you if God have changed. He has not changed. I say he has not changed. Now, I know, I understand because of the modern development of medicine, many of us have difficulty of reconciling that with some of the truths of the scriptures. But, you know, I have come from Africa in some places where there is no hospital. Where they will bring a dead person to you, a pastor, and knock on your door in the morning and ask you to pray. And you have to hold hope for that family that is in tears and in pain and in grief and in sorrow. And as I look at them, my heart, you know, break. What can we do? Only to call upon God. And it's amazing to see God raise back someone who is dead. Someone who is dead back to life again. God is awesome. Amen. There is nothing impossible for God to do. Amen. Have faith in God. Amen. You know, when you look at that, also in the time, in the wilderness, the people disobeyed God, and God allowed serpents to begin to beat them. And they cried to God. God said to Moses, take the serpent of bronze, raise it up, everyone that is beaten, look to it, and you'll be healed. And as they did that, they were healed. And that was the shadows. God manifested his power in the shadows. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, if God did that in the shadows, how much more in the reality? How much more in the very image? Because the serpent of brass is just a type of Jesus. Because the lamb that was, you know, killed and put in the lintel is a type of Jesus. Jesus is the true Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ has come and said, it is finished, when he sacrificed himself once for all. It is finished. So he carried our pains, our depression, our sorrow, our grief. He took everything. He tested death for every man on the cross of Calvary. So he said, faith in God. Now, I discovered that it is easy for Christians to believe God to forgive their sin than to believe God to heal their body. Many Christians just trust God. Ask him, just confess your sin and trust God. And he believes, he never asks, he never thinks twice. He confesses sin, repent of his sins, and forsake his sin and ask God to forgive him. And he believes his sins is forgiven. But when it comes to healing, then he has problem believing God. But it's the same God that forgives your sin, the same God heals your body. The Bible says, he forgives my iniquities and he heals my diseases. Which is difficult, to forgive sin or to heal the body. Jesus asked a man that was, they brought to him, who was paralyzed. And the people were astonished because he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And they asked Jesus, who is he that forgives sin? Jesus said, which is much difficult, to ask a man that his sins are forgiven or to ask him to rise up? And, but for you to know that the Son of Man has authority upon the earth, ask the man, rise up and walk. So if God can forgive your sin, he can equally heal your body. He has not changed. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And now when you look into the scriptures, I just want to close by showing you how you can appropriate what Jesus has done for you. You can enjoy health. I repeat, you can enjoy health. I know we go through challenges. I have gone through challenges. But I also have experienced the power of God heal my body. Now, when you read the Bible says about Thomas, in John 20, verse 25. He said, they came to Thomas and told him that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And Thomas looked at them and said, except I see the prints of the nail in his hands and touch his side, I will not believe. And then Jesus appeared. And Jesus said, Thomas, here is my hands, touch it. And don't be unbelieving, believe. And he fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and believe, than those who see before they believe. And Jesus is showing us how we can receive from God. Abraham did not see. He was told, your wife, we have a child. At that old age, medically it's impossible. But the Bible says Abraham believed. And he continually grew in his faith, fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said, and God fulfilled his word. And those serve as an example. Everything written in the scripture, the Bible says, is written so that through the comfort of the scripture, we might have hope. We can believe. He said, all that is what written is written so that we can believe. And in believing, we can have life. And I want to say you can have life in your body. Not only in your spirit, but also in your soul. God can heal both the emotional crisis we go through, and he can heal even your physical body. All he asks you is to believe. Have you noticed that everybody that came to Jesus for healing, he only asks for one thing, believe. Have you noticed that? Read the whole of the scripture. Jesus insists that everybody that comes to him, believe. A man came to him, was blind. He said, do you believe I can do this? All he asks from us. And you know, one of the things why it's difficult is because we like to take credit for what we have done. And believe is not the place where we can take credit. Because it's all God. We cannot do it ourselves. Man likes to take pride on what he has achieved. But you know, We didn't save ourselves. It's just the mercy of God. There is nothing we can do to be saved. It's the mercy of God. So all he asks from us is just to believe. That's all. And you know, believing is not something mental. You can just agree with me mentally, like John Wesley said, there is mental assent. You know, you can agree with me mentally of everything I said, but disengaging your heart. Believe is in the realm of the heart. That's why Jesus says, if you will say to this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, you will receive what you say. So believe is in the realm of the heart. With the heart, we believe to righteousness. So what God requires from us is belief from our heart. He said, he that comes to God must first what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And God knows if there is a man that in his heart has faith in him, he will never despise the person. He will never ignore the person. Never. I want to show you, a woman came to me after I finished sharing a teaching, and the woman said to me, Pastor, you know, I really don't have faith. I said, well, if you don't have faith, it means you are not a Christian. Because it's by grace, through faith, we are saved. He said, no, I'm a Christian. I said, then you have a faith. He said, well, my faith is very small. I said, it's enough. Jesus said, if you have faith like a little mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed. You don't need a faith fuel that fills this room. You just need that little faith, like a little mustard seed. I am sure you must have seen mustard seed before, just like a grain of sand. He said, if you have the faith just as little. So if you have received Christ, there is faith in your heart. Bible says God has given to every man a measure of faith. There is faith in your heart to believe him. And that's all he asks from you, is to believe. He said to Jairus, when he heard the daughter is dead, he said, don't be afraid, but believe. Only believe. That's all. All things are possible to those who believe. God bless you. Can we bow our heads in prayer? I know we are all human beings. We go through tests, challenges, trials. They come in different forms. Sometimes it's health, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's marital, and all that. And all God wants from us is to believe that he can bring you out of that trial, that challenge. So as you bow your heads there, I want you to exercise faith in God. That whatever is it you're facing, that you're coming out of it. Just like all the testimony in the scripture, you will also give testimony to the glory of God, that he is faithful to his word, that he keeps covenant, and he never fails anyone. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this privilege you have given to us. Thank you because we are called your children. Thank you because you adopted us through your son Jesus into your family, beloved family. Thank you because of the blood that was shed for us. Thank you, you did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We thank you. And we bless you. And Lord, I want to thank you for the eye of mercy that you look upon us. As many that are here that have followed this teaching of God's word, I don't know, but you understand each of us more than I do. And you know where we are hurting. You know where we are in pain. You know where we are grieving. You know where we are troubled. You know where our minds are asking questions. And you allowed this word to be shared at this time. I pray that your word that has gone forth, it will not come back to you empty. That this word will bring healing in our crisis, healing in our soul, healing in our mind, healing in our body. Lord, I want to thank you because when your word go forth, you confirm your word with signs and wonders. And I want to thank you. There are those who are here now, represented family who are here now represented, and who are having somebody in the hospital that is sick, that is in pain. I pray that you will remember them.
You will stretch forth your hands and heal and bring comfort to that family. I pray that the power of darkness that have risen against that person be bound in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We glorify your name. You are good to us. Receive our praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.